morning. Our reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, chapter 25, verses 27 through 34. It's talking about Jacob and Esau, the sons of Isaac, who was Abraham's son. As the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter. He was an outdoorsman, but Jacob had a quiet temperament, preferring to stay at home. Isaac loved Esau because he enjoyed eating the wild game Esau brought home. But Rebekah loved Jacob. One day when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau arrived home from the wilderness, exhausted and hungry. Esau said to Jacob, "I'm starved. Give me some of that red stew." This is how Esau got his other name, Edom, which means red. "All right," Jacob replied, "but trade me your rights as the firstborn son." "Look, I'm dying of starvation," said Esau. "What good is my birthright to me now?" But Jacob said, "First, you must swear to me that your birthright is mine." So Esau swore an oath, thereby selling all his rights as the firstborn to his brother Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and lentil stew. Esau ate the meal, then got up and left. He showed contempt for his rights as the firstborn.
A guy named Jacob Gunter, who I do not know, but who has a blog, wrote in a blog in 2012 that Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is actually a retelling of the story of the seven deadly sins. Not that there is a story per se, but the characters in Willy Wonka each represent one of the seven deadly sins. And the character in Willy Wonka that represents our deadly sin today is a guy named August Gloop, which seems like such an appropriate name for gluttony, which is what our subject is today, because of his huge hunger for chocolate. I might add that normally when we say gluttony, we refer to what? Food. Yeah, that's what we normally think of. But you will see today in the sermon that I'm thinking of gluttony and the general idea of gluttony is of something far larger than just food. Gluttony is desire on steroids. It's what it is. It is desire without a stopping mechanism. In America, it's called hoarding today. According to the Self-Storage Association, the country now possesses, it's a good thing you're sitting down, 1.875 billion square feet of personal storage. That's nearly 2 billion square feet of personal storage. Morgan Stanley, which is an investment firm, in one telling index said, over the 1996 to 2004 period, annual growth in U.S. personal consumption expenditures averaged 3.9, let's say 4%. 3.9 or 4%. Nearly double. This is what you and I were talking about, Matt. Nearly double the 2.2% rate recorded elsewhere in the advanced world. America 4%, The rest of the world, 2.2%. The personal consumption index. What other country in the world has businesses like Hold Everything and container store businesses that make stuff to store stuff? Where else? I mean, our daughter worked for Container Store when she lived very many years ago, and Bev and I bought stuff in Container Store to hold our stuff. Of the curious growth in the home organization market, reality shows like Clean Sweep and magazines like Real Simple, or the National Association of Professional Organizers, saw a 50% increase in membership in the past year. It's because we're swimming in stuff. We don't know what to do with it. Even religion gets into the consumerism of our nation. You go to mega churches and they have food courts and coffee bars, and they offer services, goods and services, to lure people in and create an addiction for stuff. We're like August Gloop with food hanging off our lips. Except in this case, it's food and everything else that we're hungry for that we just can't get enough of. Bev read to us the story of Jacob and Esau, which I think is a good parable about gluttony. Esau is apparently a man who has no control over his hungers. No control. I don't believe in the story that Esau is a man who's dying of starvation. I mean, after all, he kills livestock. He kills things for the purpose of eating them. And he has a brother that raises vegetables and knows how to cook. When they arise, when these primal hungers of his arise, he appears to be willing to do anything to satisfy those desires. That's what gluttony is. He's willing to do anything. And so he tells his brother that he's willing to sell his brother's two-third share of the family wealth in order to have a bowl of his brother's soup. I'm so hungry, my stomach thinks my throat has been cut. I'll give you my entire birthright, two-thirds share of the family wealth, in order to have a bowl of your soup. The idea of eat, drink, and be merry is found in the philosophy of the writer of Ecclesiastes. If you ever want to read a really interesting study in somebody's life who's dealing with life and trying to figure out what makes you really happy, in the beginning of the book, where he talks about his experiment with it, he keeps saying over and over again, eat, drink, and be merry, eat, drink, and be merry. I recommend having fun, he says, because there's nothing better for people in the world than to eat, drink, and be merry, or enjoy life. And Paul, in Ephesians, quotes the prevailing philosophy of the day, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's gluttony. Randy Rowland says that gluttony dulls the fear and pain of life, and I think he's right. Randy Rowland has a seminary education and is involved in ministry somehow, but he's also the voice of the Seattle Seahawks. You can see the possibility of this in both Esau and in Ephesians and Ecclesiastes. One type of food, as in Italian, Southern, French, and so forth, is called comfort food. We all know what, I love comfort food, and I'm not condemning comfort food, but comfort food is sort of a way of saying that it satisfies something in me. It quells some appetite or hunger in me. And if you don't have any breaks on that hunger, then what it does is it takes over your life. And it becomes a remedy for fear and pain and all the other things that we suffer in life. Gluttony is listed among the seven deadly sins because it's a gateway sin, and it leads to other sins. It always does. In fact, all of these are called deadly sins because they are gateways. They open the door to other things. So gluttony is tied to wastefulness. That's why we have 1.875 billion square feet of personal storage, because we have all this junk. And once we put it in storage, we never see it again. Right? Things are not purchased or consumed for their usefulness in accomplishing something good, but rather to assuage a hunger, to make that hunger in the pit of our belly go away. Gluttony can lead to addiction. It can lead to addiction because gluttony proceeds from compulsiveness. Hungers or dependencies develop, which tend to remove freedom and self-control. So one drink leads to a life lived in a bottle, or one little collection of loved objects leads to a house filled with collections. One comfort food becomes a way to quell loneliness or hopelessness. Number three, so gluttony is a gateway sin, and it leads to wastefulness. It also leads to addiction, and it corrupts love. Randy Rowland again says, take a look at beer ads in particular. Bikini-clad sex symbols carry the cooler of brews down to the beach with the implication that if you got beer, you've got us. Right? Not a very godly message, is it? Not really what God wants from us. Advertisers have learned to measure pupil dilation and increased heart rate with sales. They got it down to a science. They know what makes us tick. We've been corrupted by that and have turned everything, including people, into an object. And it is impossible for love to live in an objectified world. It is impossible. The moment I treat you like an object or you treat me like an object is the moment that we cease to love each other in the way that God has asked us to. And then number four, so gluttony leads to wastefulness, it leads to addiction, it corrupts love, and finally, it trusts things rather than God. It trusts things rather than God. Gluttony is misplaced faith. If I could win that lottery, boy, I'd have it wired. And where's my trust for God in that? Where's my trust for God in that? or if I could buy that car or move into that house or get that faith or purchase that product. And there's no God in any of that. Gluttony is the abandonment of self-control and wisdom. It's primal in its focus, I think. I think it happens down here is where it happens. And I'm not talking about necessarily food, because there's other things that live down here too, right? It's the way Satan pitches his products. They're primal and they're attractive, and before you know it, we've stuffed that extra piece of cake in our mouth, or we've bought that product, or we're driving that car, or we're associating with that group of people. It's all down here stuff, because it satisfies some desire that I have. The Bible has some interesting things to say about gluttony. Proverbs 23 says, if you're a big eater, put a knife to your throat. Don't you love that? 20 through 21 says, do not carouse with drunkards or feast with gluttons, for they're on their way to poverty. 1 Kings tells the story of Naboth, 1 Kings 21. Naboth was this man that this rather poor man didn't have a whole lot. He had a vineyard, and it was a well-tended vineyard. It grew good grapes, and next door was King Ahab. King Ahab was married to Jezebel. Jezebel was a corrupt and awful woman. That's why we don't name our daughters Jezebel. And Ahab loved Naboth's vineyard. And he was willing to do anything to have Naboth's vineyard. So Jezebel had him killed, and then Ahab occupied. Dealing with this sin or any sin is difficult. It's just hard. But I think, first of all, it requires self-awareness. And I really need to know what's going on down here. I really do. Because if I turn my attention away from this, then stuff can go on in my life. As I try to gluttonously feed these appetites that are created here. You can't take a pill for it. There's no comfort food that will take care of it. So let me give you three ways to think about this. The first way to avoid gluttony is to trust God, pure and simple. Trust God. Matt and I were talking during break about, you know, our tendency to want to hang on to stuff or maybe to make a profit from stuff. You know, the trust God way of looking at that is to saying, look, you know, this was a gift. Here. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to give it away. I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to buy it. My life doesn't depend on that cell phone app or cell phone or that car or that particular kind of clothing or that new pair of shoes I saw. Life doesn't depend on that. Life depends on God. I'm going to trust Him. The second is to say no to self, to divest, to be generous toward others. This won't sound connected, but it is in my scrambled brain. Last night, one of our neighbors came down to the house, knocked on the door, rang the doorbell. And it was Rosa. And Rosa had a card for Bella. And she had a little present that she bought Bella. And she said, you know, I just hope Bella's doing fine. And touched our hearts. And then she told us about her own dog that had just early on got attacked. And she said, the lady of the house saw her dog come out and do this and gathered up her dog and went back in the house. Now, forget the violent part of that and all that, but what makes somebody so stingy that they can't give their attention to another human being and feel compassion for another human being and be generous to another human being? What's wrong with us? And it's gluttony. It's gluttony that causes me to say the only thing I care about in this life is what's going on here. And as long as I can keep this quiet, as long as I can satisfy its hungers, then you don't count. Third way. First is trust God. The second is to discipline myself, to be a generous, loving person. And the third is the development of good habits. You can't control gluttony without good habits. You just can't. Things like prayer and meditation and generosity. Generosity is a habit, by the way. It's a habit. You can't just be accidentally a generous person. Meditation. Hospitality. Those are all ways that stifle gluttony. Because you can't be a glutton when you're feeding another person. Whether in your home or at a soup kitchen or wherever it may be. You can't be a glutton when you're giving away your stuff and saying, I want to share this with you. You just can't. It's impossible. In this sermon, we told the story of Jacob and Esau, in which Esau was so captivated by Jacob's stew that he was unable to think maturely about his life, about his future. I want it all, and I want it now. Give me the soup. Gluttony is one of the seven deadly sins because of the gateway that it opens up, loss of self-control, the refusal to discipline self, and the way that it controls our lives. Gluttony and addiction go hand in hand, by the way. Where are you? What role does gluttony play in your life? I have problems with it from time to time. Let's pray. Dear Father, please guard our hearts from gluttony. May we only make room for you and learn to be contented with the world we have. We also pray that those millionaires and billionaires who don't share but only consume will learn generosity and turning loose. May we be free in the way that you bring freedom, rather than enslaved by unquenchable hunger. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.